for Lyman Ag Supply in Lyman, Iowa, and they're your headquarters for seeds and chemicals. And right now they're looking at insecticides. They got everything you need for agriculture. It's available at Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center in greater downtown Atlantic, where they make you see better and look good while you're doing it. This is Bob Evensee along with Brian Jolly, the conservation officer for Casson and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report.
Good you forgot morning, my Brian. Name, Bob. It's Grant.
Oh, I've been Brian and you all morning. I'm sorry if I didn't sound right. Sorry about that. I was really worried about getting the jelly.
There you go. you can't forget that one. That doesn't happen often.
All right, Grant, let's talk about some things that are new and complicated. Let's start with the new straight wall bullets that are going to be available, and it's all new to everybody.
It is, including your local conservation officer. But, yeah, that's one of the more common topics. Been getting quite a few phone calls about it lately, and people are kind of curious. As they should be about the do's and don'ts and what can be used. And, you know, one of the easiest ways that I can kind of help people maybe answer some of their own questions is if you go to the DNR's website. We've now got the 2017-2018 hunting, trapping, and they've also got the migratory bird information included in the regulations booklet this year, so that's kind of nice. It's just one booklet instead of a couple.
You bet.
So on page 31, if you go to our website, you can download that. You can save it to your computer. I don't know if the books are quite out in the vendors yet, but they should be here in the coming weeks. But on page 31, it'll talk about the straight-walled ammunition options that are allowed for the upcoming seasons. And one of the most common questions we're getting is, well, when can I use it? And the answer to that is, if you'll go to page 32, they've got the legal methods that are allowed for the different deer hunting seasons there. And you'll see at the far right side of that little chart there, we've got rifles added. And so you can use the straight walled ammunition shooting rifles for the youth and disabled portions of deer season, and they're also allowed during the first and the second shotgun seasons.
But not
during late muzzleloader, not during early muzzleloader.
Okay.
So that's something to keep in mind, and one of the more common questions that we're getting. So if you'll go back up to page 32, there's a whole bunch of information there, and quite frankly, I'm not going to go through the whole list of different calibers or cartridges that are allowed, but we do have some of them listed there, but that's not a total inclusive list because mm-hmm. there are so many different options out there. But as you and I talked about, you know, before the show a little bit, one of the more common ones that we'll see is the 4570. That's a very common round size that is often used in these rifles that are shooting this straight-walled stuff. 44 Magnum, of course, is another one that'll be fairly common in the field, as well as 45 ACPs. But then you get into some of the stuff that I've never even heard of, like a 475 line ball. Never heard of it, never seen one. But if you've got one, you know, you can now start to use it. But there's, you know, probably 15 to 20 different sizes that are mentioned there, and some of them are the more common ones, and some of them, you know, like 357 Magnum, you know, that's everybody knows about that one. So there's the common ones, and then there's the less common ones that we'll see, but again, they are available options out there. So easiest thing to do is, if you don't have your hands on a book yet, go to the website. It's under the hunting section, under the seasons and license. You'll see down there at the bottom, you can click on a link that'll take you to the PDF file for the new 2017-2018 hunting, trapping, and migratory regulations. Page 31 and 32 has got a whole bunch of information on there about the straight-walled ammunition cartridges that are now allowed, and as well as it'll talk again about those seasons in which they can be used. So it's new for all of us. I'll still welcome questions, and if you read through it and aren't quite sure, pick up the phone and give us a call. And if you're still uncertain about things, we'll work through it together and make sure that, you know, if you've got something maybe that is not on the list, that it can be used or can't be used. So, again, I know it's difficult to explain, but there is so many different options that, you know, that we could talk for hours about the different things that could be allowed.
The straight wall ammunition is basically a pistol, though.
It is, yeah. That's one of the things, and that's something that's a good point to make. Straight walled ammunition is just what it says. They can be rimless. They can be a rimmed cartridge. But when you think of your traditional rifle, I'll use a 243, for instance. That's a necked down cartridge. Uh-huh. So that would not be allowed because it is not a straight walled cartridge in itself. When we start to talk about these 357s, for instance, if you pull one of those rounds out of the box, you'll notice that the cartridge or the brass on it has a straight wall. It is not necked down at all. So those are the key differences. And if you've got if you're not familiar with firearms and you say, well, I've got a 270, can I use that? Well, pull the ammo out, look at it, and you'll notice right away that it's a neck down cartridge and it's not going to be it's not going to fit the straight walled criteria. So, mm-hmm. Just some of the, you know, easier points there is the differences in the brass or the cartridge, for that particular round. So, again, so many different combinations that we could talk about it. And I'm not a gun enthusiast. I obviously
that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, a little more politically correct term, but you know, there's a lot of people that know way more about firearms than I do that will be able to, you know, right away if you rattle off the 50 caliber line ball, they'll say, oh yeah, that's a straight wall cartridge. I'm not that good. I'm not that familiar with them. So that's why we've developed this list for some of the more common ones that'll hopefully help people with some of their initial questions about the different options that we have.
Well, this thing is just a quarter of an inch away from being a rifle shell, but it's usable in the youth, the regular seasons, and the
disabled. Yeah,
and the disabled.
So it'll be a good option for some other folks. You know, there's a lot of fear amongst this that, oh, people are going to be shooting, you know, 600-700 yards and killing deer, and that's, I don't believe that's going to be the case, because these rounds or these cartridges just don't have that capability for the most part. You know, you're talking about a couple hundred yard round here, and if you think about it, the inline muzzleloaders that people have been using for years now are capable of just as much or more as a lot of these rounds. So you know, it's really not a whole lot of difference other than the multi-shot capacity, I guess, that they'll be able to use.
So if a guy wants to use carry a pistol and a rifle, he can interchange the ammunition without getting in trouble.
You bet. Yeah.
All right. So we got that taken care of. We were talking about deer a little bit. They've changed some of the kind of adjusting. The biologists have been busy, and they're adjusting some of the things on account of the wasting disease and kind of shifting the availabilities around.
They have, and that's some other questions that we're getting. And if you'll go to page 6 of the regulations book, you'll see the antlerless tag quotas there. They've got a state map with all the different numbers that are available by county. And some of the counties, I believe there's 22 of them statewide, that the numbers have been reduced slightly for the upcoming seasons. And yeah, you hit it on the head there. It's for various reasons, and that's, you know, this kind of goes back to, we harp on this a lot during the deer seasons, why it's so important for people to report their harvest. Because if you don't report your harvest, number one, not only is it illegal, and likely you'll get a visit from me, but secondly, this is important information for the biologist to gather for how many deer are being harvested per county, what types of deer are being harvested per county, and they can look at different trends and see, well, you know, they didn't harvest as many. Maybe hunters aren't seeing as many. So those numbers are extremely important, and they can really help us gauge the overall health of the deer population in that particular county. So you also then have to account things like chronic wasting disease or EHD, which we're starting to get a few cases reported here in the state. And, you know, it's really important that we gauge the population, because, you know, we don't want to allow thousands of tags and have our population at a critical low level. That would be detrimental to the deer herd. So, mm-hmm. Again, it's important to report the harvest and kind of keep us in the loop as to what the population is and kind of keep it in check.
Okay. Tags will be available on the 15th of August, far away.
You bet. Month. So, yeah, that's going to be just around the corner here. And, again, if you go to the website, the non-resident results are starting to be available. So non-resident hunters, they can go to the website, check the status of their application, and that's another hot topic lately. You know, sometimes you kind of get blindsided. You think, well, July, why the heck are we talking about deer?
Right.
And you're kind of in a boating and fishing mode. But, again, if you go to the website, there's all sorts of information on there, and you can find out just about everything you want to know about the upcoming deer seasons.
You bet. Changing gears big time, you're getting a lot of calls on bats in the belfry.
Yeah, that's a common question that we get, especially in some of our larger cities or towns, and particularly places like Atlantic, where they have a lot of older homes with big peaks and big attics. And this is sometimes the time of the year where we get those calls, and people seem to be in a bit of a frenzy when it comes to bats. But you know, bats are a difficult problem. It's kind of like trying to keep mice out of your house. You know, mm-hmm. You can have a brand new house with all kinds of new insulation and it's sealed up really well, but a mouse is going to find his way into the house. And Bats are pretty much the same way. They can kind of sneak in or crawl into really small locations, or if you've got openings or cracks or vents somewhere, they can get into these things. And you know, this is common sense. The first thing I tell people is take a quick walk around the house, look up at the eaves, the soffit. If you've got gaping holes or something that you can stick a finger through, you've got the potential for bats or mm-hmm. mice or rodents to get in. So you want to make sure that you're closing those things up. If you've got a known amount of or known population of bats living in your attic, people are sometimes worried, and rightfully so, about closing them up during the day or sealing those holes, bats not being able to get in, and that's when we start seeing bats flying around in living rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the best pieces of advice you can give people is, you know, wait until right before dark. That's when a lot of the bats, since they're nocturnal, are going to be crawling out, flying around, getting after bugs. That might be the best time, or even after dark, to get up there and close some of these holes up. So unfortunately, bats are a very difficult problem. There's no spray, there's no bat poison like for mice or rats. So it's just a matter of closing up entry places for them in order to keep them out. And of course, we've got a couple of pest control places here in town that specialize in that stuff, and you know, they may be a good option to call as well.
Yeah, pretty simple. If you can isolate them in a room, open the window, and leave it, they'll be flying out of there at night.
Going, you betcha.
Close it back up, you're back in business.
Absolutely.
Okay. For the Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center in greater downtown Atlantic, has been Bob Evensy along with Grant Jelly, the conservation officer for Cass and Dare Counties on this morning's Conservation Report.